The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, welcome in. Numbers to dial up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone. And a bit of a celebration going on for many. If you're a college student, that means it's spring break time. Colton Stone is fist pumping. If you're an elementary student, parent, or teacher, well, the last hurrah was yesterday, and you've had a plethora of basketball to watch. It's weird being back in studio the last 3 days. We were down at Longwell's in the rail yard with watch parties and following this magical run of Nebraska and Tim Miles. And now you have decisions to make if you're the NIT. You have decisions to make if you're Bill Moose. And let's start there with his statement yesterday. That is what's on the mind. That was what you shifted to immediately after Nebraska valiantly fought and fell to Wisconsin yesterday, 66-62. What did Bill Moose say he wanted to see when he came out and said, "We're extending Tim at just a year"? He wanted to see some consistency, right? He wanted to see some consistency. He wanted to see Nebraska take this team that was an eyelash from the NCAA tournament. He wanted to see him handle their business when they're a favorite or when they're projected to be among the haves, not the have-nots. You have public support right now from the national media that love Tim Miles, that are blasting Bill Moose for releasing a statement before the statements to come on Sunday after the NIT. Where are you at with this statement gate issue? I look at Bill Moose in a different light than I look at him as his predecessor, Sean Eichhorst. Sean Eichhorst let Tim Miles twist into the wind. And then on Twitter, after a loss to Penn State, said, yeah, Tim Miles will be back to be our basketball coach. Bill Moose was going to be asked, and asked again after the loss, what's going to happen with Tim Miles? And Bill Moose said, look, season's not over. If you get an NIT bid, he's still your coach. Now, once the thing doesn't continue to chug forward in the NIT, assuming they don't run to New York, then you got a decision to make. Bill Moose leaving to California has also been a topic of discussion to watch his son's spring game. I don't think Bill Moose anticipated Nebraska being around very long in Chicago.
Why should he have?
I think family's first, and he made his statement. You know where you stand if you're Tim Miles. You know where you stand if you're Nebraska basketball. Have success this year. You got to ask yourself, the last 3 days, the last three games were fun. You felt good.
Yeah.
You saw heart. You saw grit. You didn't see that throughout the year.
Right. You saw a team play hard.
You saw a team play hard.
The whole time.
The last three games. You saw a team lose 11 out of 13. In some instances, not play hard. And that is most damaging to Nebraska basketball or just Nebraska fans. You lose, fine. You lose to a better team, fine.
Don't look listless doing it.
Nailed it.
Period.
Kranak, good to see you this morning.
You too.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's been interesting as we'll have our rewind coming up in about 20 minutes with Andy Markowski, his thoughts on the state of the Nebraska basketball program, Andy Markowski's take on Tim Miles, and Bill Moose. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Listen, you have two entities to discuss this morning. You have Tim Miles, the person,
mm-hmm.
and you have Tim Miles, the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting them blurred right now after three magical days in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because if you're just dropping in on this season and you're just dropping in on this run, you're like, 18, they can't fire that guy.
18-16 isn't what it was supposed to be.
But if you're just dropping in on it, casual fan, you're like, why would they fire him? Hey, look, it looks like he's figuring it out. That's good. Keep him. You know, and you're just like, no, you can't ignore. No, you can't ignore the last 7 years. And think about.
We don't hate Miles. I like Miles. I think he's got some good points to him. I think he's raised Nebraska's profile. I think he's recruited really well. They just haven't done enough. Now,
players he recruits don't stay.
Right. I mean, that's what's going to be his Achilles heel here are the guys that ended up leaving.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that he didn't recruit at the high level. He had a turnstile like a lot of programs. But guys went elsewhere, and the roster construction was poor because you're down to six scholarship guys and a couple of walk-ons to try and get through Chicago in 7 years.
Who, by the way, have come in and played pretty well, which makes you also wonder.
Where was that the rest of the year?
Yeah, how are these guys not ready to play? How are they not filling in when you're watching your team play listless and you're watching your players struggle and your stars struggle? These dudes were just collecting dust on the bench, and it looks like they can compete.
Did you have
at
them
the Division
ready?
One level?
Did you have them ready, or were you afraid to show that maybe they weren't ready?
I don't know what it is. All I know is you're down to seven players, and you're playing your best hoops of the last 2 months. And a lot of those players hadn't gotten a sniff of playing time the entire year. Right? But now all of a sudden you're reeling off W's? Now all of a sudden you're D-ing guys up?
You had a perfect chemistry once you got to Chicago and with Iowa. You had some try hard blue collar get dirty fellas that kind of elevated the rest of the team, and for too much of 2018-2019, Nebraska basketball looked like Maryland looked, right? You know how pissed off Turgeon was?
Yeah.
Because his guys didn't want to get dirty. They showed up expecting to roll the ball out and win. They didn't give the little extra oomph against Nebraska. Nebraska went out there, earned it, did a great job.
Yeah.
But Maryland's full of NBA talent, right? Well, Maryland didn't want to get dirty. And the problem is too much of this season, you had some guys for the Nebraska basketball program that are those fringe NBA pro guys just not want to get dirty. And defensively, my God, defensively, it was a thing of beauty to watch Nebraska basketball the last couple of games, the last few trips, the last three games in Chicago. Iowa's Iowa, so that was a 93-91 win. But you saw too many times this year, what you hang your hat on is defense. You didn't have that defensive intensity a lot of the time, specifically when you got into Big Ten. Maybe that's fatigue, but you just had no,
you had no
reinforcement.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and what have we talked about all year going into the season? It's like, hey, red flag, everybody that thinks that this team is just going to, you know, march into the dance, no problem, and is going to get their first tournament win. They don't have any depth. So you got to figure something out, right? Well, it turns out they actually did have depth. That depth just never got to play.
He was afraid to use it.
That depth just never got to play. And if you're going to value things like getting dirty, getting on the floor, hustling.
How you have to win.
If you're going to value things
Nebraska.
Like that, you can't keep dudes on the bench that do those things. I mean, I don't know, man. It was as much of an indictment on the staff as anything. The fact that they rallied, it's as much of an accomplishment as it is an indictment. It really is.
You're right. It feels good. But why are you in this position? Why are you a 13 seed? Why are you the Cinderella story? Because you lost 11-13. And things were going sideways before Cope got hurt. And
But look, True Blood, Borkart, Thor, they deserve minutes. Right? Like, I'm not saying those guys
don't
need
get
to
minutes,
start all the time.
If you don't get minutes in today's day and age, what do you do?
Yeah.
You leave.
I mean, they obviously deserve and are capable of minutes.
Let's get your take here on Moose's statement. And the reality is, I don't know that Moose has his guy. Dana got an extension late Thursday night at Oregon. What do you do now if you're Moose? Are you still kicking tires? Are you sewing up a deal? Because you can't make a move, I don't think, for... I think the backlash will be pretty heavy if you make a move for another mid-major guy instead of getting a proven winner.
Probably. Although...
Do you want another year of this next year, or is it going to be worse? Or do you just...
Well, the spring game will be coming up, so people will be distracted, too.
No, but you're going to have a decision here by Monday.
Yeah, on whether or not to make a move, but then to
they'll probably get in the NIT, but how far will they go into the NIT? I don't know.
So you probably got some time yet before you would announce the new guy.
What did the statement say to you?
I'm firing him later.
Do you criticize him at least letting the world know that I haven't made a call yet. This team's not done.
No, he pretty much said he made a call. I think. I mean, I don't right. Pretty much said, I'm firing him later. We got to wait. Right?
But why is he waiting? Is he waiting because he doesn't have his guy, or is he waiting because the team's not done?
Did you notice the statement wasn't anything like, I'm really proud of the way the team... Like, there was no vote of confidence within the statement.
No, there's a difference between what he said and then the quote tweet that Ronnie Green put out there about how proud of the guys he was.
Proud of the guys, yeah. Not proud of Coach Miles, necessarily, was he? Right? I'm just saying, there's what Moose didn't say is as important as anything. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like, so proud of Coach Miles and his staff for rallying this. No, he's just like, yeah, we got to wait. We got to wait before I can fight. I mean, you know, there was no vote of confidence whatsoever. So, I mean, it's fine. Everybody already knows anyways. Just like everybody knew it was going to happen with Riley.
Mm-hmm.
He can't just say it, I guess. But honestly, I don't know why, because he pretty much... I'm pretty sure he's told Miles. I'm pretty sure Miles knows. It's just like, why not?
I just wonder how that phone call or text went to Tim after the game or before the game. Hey, whatever happens, good luck. I'll have a statement, a comment about 45 minutes after your game, because Tim said that in the post game yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he didn't know. No. And I think there's this friction between Miles and Moose.
Well, yeah, maybe Miles shouldn't be calling out the administration in the media. I don't know, just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you want to? I mean, that Chris Hedy piece in the World Herald,
mm-hmm.
Miles was just all over the administration and was not hiding anything. He was.
Trying to save his job. He's trying to sway public opinion.
That is the worst possible way to save your job. How are you going to... So if you got a problem with your program director at the radio station, you're going to...
I'm not going to say a word
about
it. You're
going to call up the Journal Star real quick and be like, hey, listen up. Let me tell you about what I don't get here.
And for the record, I love all of my program directors, Krainak.
Let me tell you about the resources I don't get, which I deserve. No. You don't. That's not how you keep a job. So no, what, like, and so, and that's the other thing that's been kind of bugging me about. That is clear disrespect for Moose and the administration. Period. That is disrespectful on Tim Miles' part to do that.
The other question I have, other side of the coin, and I don't want to get into family over job, but. Bill Moose, should he have been more on site for Nebraska basketball this year?
No, because he's going to fire the coach that was talking crap about him in the papers. like, period.
Before the Hedy article 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. Maybe.
He's been hands-off historically. Go do your job and we'll evaluate.
Yeah. I don't care if the AD is at the game. I spend zero... seconds of my life
worrying about
where Bill Moose is consuming sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't care. Do you? Does anybody?
I don't care. It's his job to evaluate. Does he have the means to evaluate?
Yeah.
Is he informed? That's all I care about.
You got a tablet? You got Huddle?
You're gonna
you
have
a computer.
You had this outcry yesterday.
Got a TV,
and you're gonna have more of the Miles Mafia, that is the national media, in support. Here's Andy Katz post game. Let's chew on this for a minute. Katz on the Big Ten Network on Tim Miles.
Look, we've known him for a long time. You guys have done games. We've interviewed him 1,000 times. I'm going to say this. It's not my job to say who should or should not be fired. Okay, we report on these things. That's up to the athletic director, the president of the university. But I will tell you this. In this era of college basketball, when we got guys that are cheating, that aren't, you know, ethical, that don't have the high character, it's going around the country right now. There's going to be more on the FBI trial in the spring. Tim Miles is a high character, high ethical guy who does it right, who, by the way, also recruited well. They had a disappointing season. They did not achieve what they should have. They lost games they should not have. Whether or not he comes back next season, I don't know. We'll find out later. But I do know this. He is a good man who recruited well, who ran a good program, and they just didn't reach the certain level. And at Nebraska, you know what? You are who you are. Nebraska's never been a basketball powerhouse. And I don't know if they ever will. There'll be a program every once in a while that maybe can get in the NCAA tournament. But they're not ever going to be a program that's going to consistently win the Big Ten. So know who you are. Know what you want at your university. And ethics and character certainly have to be at the top of the list.
What is Nebraska basketball? Nebraska basketball's a sport that should challenge and get to the NCAA tournament 3 out of every 5 years.
He doesn't understand Nebraska.
No.
Andy Katz.
He's a national.
Yeah, that's fine.
Writer.
Look, yes, those things matter. You do want a clean program. You want a group that doesn't cheat and get busted by the NCAA. But you also want to win. I think people underestimate that a little bit about Nebraska. And I think they sort of learned after the Riley thing. Like, what a great fit. Nebraska fans are nice. Mike Riley's nice. They're just going to be nice together. It's going to be great. They're going to just be nice. And then he didn't win, and, you know, pitchforks came out. Like,
torches and pitchforks were.
Andy Katz doesn't get that. Like, just because Nebraska's never been good at basketball, it doesn't mean that
they don't want to be good.
Yeah. You fill up that arena not to just be nice and golf clap.
Well, how about athletics? Huh? This is just great.
They like.
Hey, Peggy, let's go watch some athletics. No, you want to win.
They like the person, Tim Miles, way better than the coach, Tim Miles.
And who doesn't?
And that's why.
I lost some respect for him, though, when he threw the
administration under the bus. Sure.
Yeah. Even if that stuff is true, the way he went about it is not cool. It's just not. It's just, it does not look good on him. And how does he possibly expect then Moose to treat him with any degree of respect after that? Like, really?
You can't.
Moose just getting completely called out, acting like he, essentially Miles saying he doesn't give me what I need. He doesn't give a lot of us what we need. It's so backwards behind the times. And Moose is like, all right, dude, whatever.
You have.
That's cool.
You have
just wait till the season's
you
over.
Have over 7 years a 500 coach.
Yeah.
Okay, you just do. And it's easy to go find another guy that will go 6-14 in league play.
Yeah.
More so than not. 5 out of 7 years you've been below 500. 2 times you've been over 500 and finished 4th.
Especially as the year turns, like from January on, we did the record. I don't have it on me anymore, but well below 500, pretty much from January on, with the exception of last year.
And that's with recruiting at more of an elite level than his two predecessors.
I mean, all the dudes that have left.
I know. And
it's just
and that's the issue. And Eddie Markowski is going to be with us on that in a little bit. As for the game, Nebraska,
you have an all-star team of ex-Huskers.
Nebraska just didn't have enough to get over the hump. They had a chance to tie it at the free throw line. Didn't happen. I do appreciate what is going to be remembered for Glenn Watson, the way he finished his senior season.
Yeah.
Big time. Palmer came back. I love the grit that Borchardt played with, and True Blood was a fun story. The guy that is just the most maddening, and he's probably the best kid, is Roby.
They need to hypnotize him. Like, Isaiah, if we're going to hypnotize you, are Michael Jordan. You are good enough. Isaiah, you are good. Just hypnotize the guy. Dude, he does stuff that he's
phenomenal,
he's
and
ridiculous.
He's also maddening.
And, he's ridiculous.
And does he get another year back here or not? I think he's flying the coop.
I almost feel bad for him in some ways because it's like he's just like the reluctant superstar, the reluctant here. He just likes playing ball and you know.
And he's good at it.
I think he's a fairly just kind of normal kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's super talented.
Right. I think he's just a pretty normal guy.
Go put your talents to use, son.
He's like, I am. What are you talking about? I'm in the Big Ten.
Get us 25, 10, and 7.
What's wrong with 11 and 6? Like, come on.
You started 0-for-7, and we needed that to be 3-for-5.
I know. It's ability-wise, yeah, he just doesn't even... He does not comprehend that he can be that guy, and I don't think he's interested in being that guy.
I think he's interested in being that guy, but he's afraid of falling short of becoming that.
Something. It's a mess, which is why you need to bring in a Navy SEAL consultant. If that had happened...
We're back to the consultant.
Then he'd be fine. He'd have that killer instinct. He would show up to games with a knife in his teeth, just like...
Before we go to break here...
Ready to go to battle.
I see a scenario. You see any scenario in which Miles stays? Do you go ground?
No.
Do you go Groundhog Day again if you can't get your guy?
I'm shocked if he's still the guy. Shocked, shocked. Not just surprised. Like jaw dropped. Like
do you believe
what?
any truth no. to that? It's a hard sell to get someone else here to Nebraska.
No. Nope. I don't think so. I mean, depends on your level. You're talking about Roy Williams and Tom Izzo? Yeah,
no,
good luck.
I'm talking the fact that you have Dana getting extended like he did. I don't think that's an accident. I think that was the guy to look at. I don't think Hoiberg or Lou are
Dana doesn't
viable.
Exactly honor contracts, so let's not read too much into that.
Okay.
All right, Woo Pig Suey.
Well, I mean, the guy thought he was going to a Klan rally, okay?
No.
Time to turn and run.
But I'm just saying, just because he got extended, I wouldn't, whatever.
Let's tell you about Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Get your workout facility picked out right for 2019. And when I tell you about Madonna Proactive, amazing selection of, well, facilities to use. Over 140 classes you can work out to. You can also get that cardio and strength training done. Three pools for you. And when you want to get that athletic performance up a click or two, or you just want to get in better shape and improve your daily life with health, Proactive can be there for you. And now when you join, you receive a new membership special. It's free till May 2019 with an annual contract. That is some free time for you to sweat. And 56th and Pine Lake Road with Madonna Proactive, an amazing facility. We love it. The Schmidt family does. And you can too. 420-200-0000.
Let's do that. Let's run that through that number.
We're
going
to give that
time.
Number again because you can go to madonnaproactive.org and log on.
Yeah.
Or you can give them a ring for a tour today. 402-420-0000.
There's some fours and some twos.
There's a lot of them. There's at 56th and Pine Lake Road is where you go.
Just mash your keypad with your thumb. Make sure you get some fours and some twos.
Say it with me, Kranek.
Some zeros.
It's 402.
402.
420.
420.
00.
00.
00.
00.
Here's Andy Markowski on the way with Hail Varsity.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
We bring in a Hall of Fame Husker, the pride of Orr, and we welcome in Andy Markowski at Markowski Andy on Twitter. Andy, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, Smitty. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate your time. So let's start with the Moose statement that came down about 10 minutes ago. He is going to wait until the season ends, which is good. What's your take on him waiting for an NIT bid to maybe make a final decision? What's your read into that?
Well, I don't think that points in any one direction. I think it's the responsible thing to do as an AD to support your coach and their players until the season is over. I've never believed in, mid-season change or the season's hard enough to have your athletic director being disruptive. So I thought it was you know, good to put a statement out, you know, to end the speculation that's going to exist between now and Sunday when those NIT bids come out. So I don't read into that as any one direction.
He needs to figure out what he wants to do. Maybe Bill Moose knows what he wants to do. And I look at Oregon and them extending Dana last night. I look at Buffalo extending Oates. I don't know who or where all Bill Moose maybe has kicked the tires, but I believe he's kicked some tires. What next for Nebraska? I mean, do they just do a mulligan for next year with this year? I mean, what do you do moving forward if you're Bill Moose, Andy?
Well, I do think he's made a decision. You know, I think, you know, we all can live at the moment, but, you know, it's good I'm getting a lot of static on your phone, so I apologize if you can hear that. But I think good athletic directors know what they're looking for in a head coach. They know if they have that, you know, person that they can build around, that they think they can, you know, take the program to the level that they want to take the basketball program to. And I'm sure Bill has evaluated the program. And if he feels, you know, Tim is that guy, he's going to extend him to 4 years and move forward. If he feels that Tim hasn't, you know, met the expectation level that he expects, you know, there's going to be a change. And at that point, we're going to find out, you know, how much Bill Moose has done in the last month to find a head coach based on the time frame that they announced the new coach.
Andy Markowski is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, we're down here at Longwell's live post-game show, and sorry if it's a little loud for you, and appreciate you putting up with that. I'm interested to get your take on what you saw out of Nebraska, starting with Iowa to Rutgers to now against Wisconsin. Does the run and finish to this season do anything for you as a former player? Does it offset any of the disappointment and underachievement that was real this regular season?
Well, I'm really happy for the seniors. I've been a huge Glenn Watson fan. I kept expecting Glenn to have a good junior year, and he didn't. And then, you know, to come back and have a huge senior year, you know, he didn't. So the fact that they were able to, you know, not wave the flag and compete, I was at the Iowa game. What an awesome win. It wasn't, you know, perfect, but it just showed that a group of guys that played loose, that didn't want the season to end, you know, had a special senior day moment, and then to carry that momentum into the Big Ten tournament, you know, I thought was awesome for them. You know, guys like Johnny Tribble that's been at the program, you know, those are feel good stories. And, you know, I was a student athlete once, and you want to see those kids have success. So, you know, I thought that was awesome. But, you know, even winning two games, they're in the round of eight. You know, it's still, I still expect more from our program. I think the resources that are available, you know, I get tired. I was listening to the Big Ten commentators, Andy Katz, saying that, you know, Nebraska needs to know who it is. And I get that. We've had a disappointing program. We're one of the few, if the only BCS team to never win a NCAA tournament game. But I feel our product to be different now. And, you know, being better than Northwestern, Illinois, and Rutgers, and finishing the top eight of the league, I think our program can give more. So I was happy to see the finish. But obviously, this has been a disappointing year for what people expected it to be.
I agree with you. It's been disappointing. The expectation was high. They were hitting those expectations early on, and they started to wane even before you had four guys out, three with season-ending injuries, or I should say two with season-ending injuries, a suspension, and then a high ankle sprain. I want to focus on a little bit of the positive here for a moment with Tim Miles and what he's been able to do. Is Bill Moose has put his statement out. Bill Moose is going to wait and evaluate the program once he learns whether or not the season's done or not, if they get an NIT bid. So with all of that said, and you look at Tim Miles, Andy, I'm stuck on if it's going to be better next year or in future years with Tim Miles. Is he going to learn how to win when he's supposed to win versus being the underdog? That's the question mark I have, Andy.
Yeah, and I think Tim has really tried. He's brought some energy. He's a very likable guy. It's rare to see coaches behave like themselves. I mean, he's been a great soundbite. And I'll give Tim credit. They've recruited well enough to win it this week. If you look at the guys they've had in their roster, from Andrew White to Petaway to Palmer, they've had kids that are in the top half of this league for all conference caliber kids. And for whatever reason, they've not been able to retain, some of the other talented players. So I do think Tim's done a lot of good. Unfortunately, has he done enough? And I said it last time I was on your show, when you have 1 year left on your contract, it is a really tough spot for an athletic director. And with a roster that's completely turning over, you look at the guys that contributed in this three-game run here to finish the season, they're all gone. I mean, who are you going to build around next year? How can you justify extending Tim Miles to 4 years when really you don't know what this program is going to look like next year? And I think that is the biggest spot that Moose is in, is how do you justify extending Tim when there's not a lot coming back? The recruit classes is average at best based on rankings. And, I think that is probably going to make Moose's decision a little easier.
Eddie Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, we're down here at Longwells. I think he will make a move when this season is done. And, Andy, you run into a lot of Nebraska basketball fans. What's the Markowski-o-meter like? I mean, what feedback have you gotten from people? Are they ready for a change? Are they in love with Miles and like the guy and think that better days are ahead? What's the man on the street, the Markowski on the street response? What's the vibe you get from Nebraska fans?
Well, I think everybody has really. How do you not like Tim? I mean, Tim is very endearing. I think his family's represented Lincoln well. I think they've recruited great kids, and you hear that all the time that people like him. But it's one of those things where they wish he would have won more, and they hope that he could win more. But the confidence is not there where they believe that he is ever going to lead this program to an NCAA tournament win. So that's the consensus that I get. There's a few that, are a little nervous that if we were to let him go, we haven't hired, the right guy through this 20-year stretch since Danny has been gone. And I think there's a little doubt that, maybe leave well enough alone. Tim's done an okay job, and let's root for him because he's a good guy. And the fear that if they were to fire him, there's zero confidence that the leadership is going to hire a guy that can take our program to the next level. We have a new AD, so I'll be anxious to see what decisions made, and then from there, what they perceive is a good fit for Nebraska if they do make a change.
Andy Markowski, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, what do you think about Nebraska and the NIT? You are part of an NIT championship. You went to three NCAA tournaments. And you look at this Nebraska team now, you look at the bubble field right now, do you think Nebraska gets that phone call Sunday to go to the NIT?
I do. I haven't broke down, all the numbers in terms of how many at-large teams there are kind of sitting on the bubble. The NIT is not as easy to make it. They cut it from 40 to 32, and then obviously regular season champions get at-large or automatic bids in the NIT, so there's not a lot of spots. But, I've used this analogy before. I mean, there's 350 Division I basketball schools, and less than 100 get to play in the postseason between the NCAA and the NIT. So that's roughly, a third of college basketball teams that can play in the postseason. 70% of Division I football schools go to a bowl game, and everybody thinks that's the greatest season ever. So I've never understood why the NIT is frowned upon. I think it's hard to get to. Teams that are in the NIT are really talented teams, and I think Nebraska has done enough to, you know, to potentially, you know, get an NIT. I think it'll be a road game, which is disappointing based on the last home game was a great atmosphere at Pinnacle Bank. You'd love to send the seniors off with another home game, but anytime you have a chance to make the postseason in Division I men's basketball, it's a good season, not a great season, and I hope they get honored just for the sake of the seniors having, you know, one more chance to put on that Nebraska uniform.
Last thought here, Andy. That's one point I want to focus on here is the seniors and some of the development that maybe hasn't happened. What's holding some of these guys back from truly hitting their ceiling? Or and Glenn finished strong. Glenn did a great job this year, but Glenn had an up and down year. James was a shadow of what he was last year. Petaway had a tough junior season. I mean, you see where I'm going. Guys haven't gotten better. What's holding Nebraska back developmentally?
Yeah, I don't know if they haven't, you know, gotten better. It's certainly maybe they haven't got to the level of expectations that we've created on the outside. But, you know, Palmer was a 13 all-league guy, which is hard to do. I do think Glenn, you know, never got to the level of shooting that, you know, maybe it was going to allow him to take the next step. But, you know, you look at a guy like Roby, I feel like Roby has developed. You look at a guy like Johnny Trueblood that, you know, I mean, obviously he had improved in the program. So I don't slap that label on Tim and his staff that these guys haven't gotten better. I was at one of the first practices when Palmer was a transfer. I mean, James Palmer was not very good. I mean, he had averaged 2 points at Miami. You know, he couldn't shoot it very well. His dribble was really high. So to sit there and say that kid, you know, from the practice I saw 3 years ago was going to be a third-team all-league kid and average close to 20 a game, I do think he improved. So I'm not one to, you know, Miles has some blemishes of things he didn't get done, but I don't put his kids haven't developed. They, you know, his problem is his kids haven't stayed in the program. That's the one thing that if Tim gets fired, he's got to ask himself, you know, why he had the amount of turnover he had. And this year, that was really their downfall. Once they got a few players injured, they just didn't have the depth ready to play and contribute to keep them, you know, afloat through some of those injuries. And if you were going to be critical at all, I think it's the transfers versus development is the biggest, you know, why when I look at, you know, Nebraska over the last 8 years.
Andy, about 60 seconds. Why do you think he's had the turnover?
You know, and I wish I knew the answer to that. I mean, kids have changed, right? I mean, transfer is part of college athletics. It goes on everywhere. You look at the transfer portal. But, you know, most of the kids that leave are the kids that aren't playing, you know, where they're unhappy with their playing time. You know, it's been the opposite here between, you know, Andrew White to Jordy to tomorrow to Jacobson. Those kids all played a ton of minutes and contributed, you know, in major roles. You know, so I don't know. You know, obviously there's a disconnect between the, you know, the player and the staff and Tim and the player, or the player and his peers and his teammates. So, you know, being from afar, I'll never know the answer to that. But, you know, when you make $2.5 million like Tim did, or does, you're accountable for that. For whatever reason, they transferred, but, you know, they tried to sign a JUCO kid late last year. He transferred before the start of the season. You know, I think they knew that depth was going to be an issue, and they just never really built that depth up to have the year that they needed to have this season.
Andy Markowski, Husker Hall of Famer. Andy, great insight today. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, Chris, thanks.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranick.
Winding through hour one, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Cranick. Colton Stone reminding you to buckle up. Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop your forward motion? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to Whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat, buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Many thanks to Annie Markowski. Joined us yesterday after the Bill Moose statement on Tim Miles. Some great points by Andy. The pride of Ord coming through once again.
Yeah, and Andy brought up a good point towards the end of that interview where, and we tend to forget this, and it's not all about money. I totally understand that. But you're talking, and Tim Miles has sort of been painted into being this sympathetic figure, and all human beings are to some degree. Like, you understand that. But you're talking about a guy that's getting about $2.5 million. He's about middle of the road in the Big Ten in terms of salary.
Top 40 money in college basketball.
You're right. You're talking about a guy that's got, top 15 attendance in the country? Something like that? Isn't that what Pinnacle Bank Arena is?
It's top 10.
Top 10?
10, 11, yeah. I mean, it's people are putting butts in seats.
Yeah, so you have an upper echelon salary. You have a top 10 following, and you don't win. You're 500, and your teams have consistently tanked, the exception of last year and the year they made it to the tournament. The other 5 years, you hit January, it just goes south, man. It just goes south. And you can't ignore those things, right? You can't, you're down to 7 or 8 players or whatever, and you make this run, and it's cool. It's been cool to watch, just in terms of, just being a sports fan. And just watch and liking Nebraska. It's cool. It's
one
cool
of the,
to watch.
One of the major stories of college basketball has been Nebraska's run. The last 3 days, nationally, locally.
With this ragtag team and you got a bunch of players. Nana gets suspended. Amir Harris is hurt. Isaac Copeland's hurt. Thomas Allen's hurt. You have been dealt some blows, for sure.
And the way you responded to that is championship-like.
Yeah. But you're year seven, man. You're year seven, and it's the same thing. This was the team.
That's why Bill Moose didn't put an extended and lucrative offer in front of him last year after one good year.
And what did he say he wanted? He said, "I want to see him string
Give
together
me some consistency,
string together another great season after this other one."
You can't define it as
Couldn't
a great
it.
Season.
Didn't do it.
Brandon Vogel's on the way. Gary Sharp coming up. Hour two with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to be back. Hour two at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Mark Kranak just flashed a picture to me. Don't drop your coffee. It's a picture of his new dog. What is that?
She's a Pomsky.
A Pomsky?
Yeah.
I like her ears.
A lab creation. We found out later. We didn't know that.
Did she shed?
Pomeranian and Husky mix. So she looks like a wolf. She looks like wolf-like.
Okay.
But she's a little smaller. She's 25 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
She looks amazing.
What's her name?
Millie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Vogues?
Kind of a little jerk to my existing Shih Tzu.
Uh-huh.
She's all over him all the time. It's
pretty
terrible.
Good. Brandon Vogel's with us on Hail Varsity Radio at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter.
Get some manly dogs.
You read him on hailvarsity.com with the hot reads, and you read his book with Coach John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Vogues, how you doing this March, man? Did you soak in all the basketball possible yesterday between the Duke-Carolina rematch, Nebraska's Magic in Chicago that came to an end, and, of course, Dana's overtime thriller last evening? How much coffee have you had this morning?
Just one cup of coffee so far this morning. That might be because I crashed out pretty early last night, so I really only absorbed the Nebraska portion of the basketball tasting menu from Friday.
Well, what did you think of your hors d'oeuvres then yesterday with Nebraska and Wisconsin?
I think it was really this entire entire trip, I feel like I ate a little better than I expected to when I headed to Chicago. That first day, I didn't have high hopes, but had a pretty good meal then. Then did it again the following day, and it's tough to string three together.
You know, pretty cool the run that Nebraska's on. More of an accomplishment by Miles and staff, or more of an indictment?
I'll shade towards accomplishment, simply because I think you can get a little bit of a bonus this time of year when you can tell your guys, hey, we're kind of playing for our life right now. And of course, then the question is always like, well, why didn't that happen after the Copeland injury? I mean, you kind of do it then, right? Nebraska was going to have a hard time salvaging a season that had legitimate tournament expectations. So where were Thor and where was Johnny Trueblood? I mean, you know, the Johnny Trueblood stuff's great. It's not like you think, well, he should have been playing 20 minutes every night. No, I don't think anybody thinks that. But those guys showed they can contribute. So, yeah, it's really a close call there between those two. Which way does it go? I'll go a little bit towards, hey, nice run. That was impressive and fun to watch.
Yep. The narrative has changed. You feel better about how the guys finished, even though the reality is you put yourself into position to be a 13 seed, and that work was being done pre-Copeland injury. So the fight and the grit to keep on trying to keep on was wonderful, but ultimately you're still 18-16, and that's what I focus on, the big picture versus the small picture here. And Vogues, what's your feedback been? What's the Hail Varsity feedback been with Nebraska basketball fans? Because, you know, if we go back less than a week, going into the Iowa game, the Nebraska basketball fan base, most was pissed or they just quit caring, right? I mean, you were at that point where, dude, lost season, we'll see what Moose decides, what a train wreck, and you have a lot of bitter and disappointment thoughts and feelings as a Nebraska basketball fan. You wanted so much more for this team. But with your feedback and what you guys get in the mailbag and the emails you get, have you noticed the folks you're hearing from, have they changed their mind about Miles? Because 7-8 days ago, folks, I thought were okay with thinking about a change. Now, some have backtracked. Where are you leaning? What have you been hearing?
Yeah, I think the run in Chicago did kind of pull things back a little bit to where the point where people are at least uncertain again. You know, the decline post Copeland injury, you know, was kind of a death march, and you just saw interest drop off with each successive loss for the most part. And I'm not talking about, you know, in terms of the people who are going to the games or anything like that, but just, you know, people were kind of like, okay, we kind of see where this is going. So to tack a fun 3 days on at the end of it, I think does give people pause. And I think you're seeing that now. You know, I've been a little bit surprised at the amount of support for Miles. I mean, I knew there was a good portion of it out there, but it's been even more, you know, because now everyone's kind of waiting on an announcement, waiting on the official statement, and everyone's on pins and needles. So all that emotion tightened. In that scenario, which we saw yesterday after the game, I guess I was a little bit surprised at the amount of support Miles had.
Moose's statement, pretty short, to the point, doesn't offer any support of Miles. Do you think he should have played that any differently, or is that sort of what you expected?
I don't know why. I don't know why there needed to be a statement right away yesterday. I mean, if you're going to wait until tomorrow, like, what's the advantage to anyone involved, really? Say, hey, check back with me in 36 hours because for some reason we're going to wait and see if there's an NIT tournament bid. I mean, other than sort of the letter of the law of Moose's previous statement saying I don't make coaching decisions before a season's over. Okay, well, effectively Nebraska basketball season is probably over. You know, they can go in the NIT, and that'd be great. Be more basketball to watch. But I didn't understand why part of the post-game press conference was the announcement that a release was coming. And then the release did come and didn't really say much. Like, what was gained through all of that?
How did that go down? Hey, Tim, this is Bill. Good run in Chicago. I'll let you know in 45 minutes. I mean, was that the message from Berkeley?
I don't know. I'm going to guess it wasn't conveyed directly to Miles, but I mean, just put yourself in Coach Miles' shoes in that one to get word from your, you know, associate AD or somebody, whoever was there with you in Chicago, saying, yeah, Moose is going to release a statement in 45 minutes. It's effectively finding out, hey, somebody's going to say something that really influences your immediate future in 45 minutes. So just thought you should know.
What's your gut tell you? Does Nebraska, you know, I think as of 2017, 2018, I didn't find anything more recent. I'm sure it's out there. I just didn't find it. But as of 2017, 2018, Miles is like the 33rd highest paid coach in America. Right?
Told you he was top 40.
Yeah, he's up there. So you can't really say they're not putting resources behind it. I mean, they got the gleaming practice facility, all that. Do you think Nebraska is at the point where, kind of similar to Frost, where they're just going to pony up and it's like pony up like top 5, top 10 money to make sure you lock up somebody?
I think they will for the right guy. And I think, you know, if they decide to make a change, that's probably the kind of hire they're going to go after. You know, that's I think the Bill Moose way, he likes the splashy hire. I don't know. You know, not saying he prizes that above getting the best guy for the job, because that's obviously what you're trying to do. But yeah, I could see Nebraska going even higher, which, you know, it's got to work then, because if Miles is in the top 40 for essentially 500 results over a 7-season span, all of a sudden you have the potential to look kind of foolish. Like, oh, Nebraska's just going to keep spending money to try and win in basketball and never do it. I don't believe that to be the case about Nebraska basketball, but you got to kind of look at the receipts there too at some point.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Get his book with Coach Cook, Dream Like a Champion. He's talking with a basketball guy last night, having a vodka lemonade, and he didn't scoff at the mid-major direction, because you throw out all the names. Craig Smith took a 17-17 program. They're 26-7 and playing for the Mountain West Championship. I know his relationship with Miles. He's won in Lincoln as an assistant. He recruited to Lincoln. That's a guy I really have always liked and enjoyed, and the guy's done the job everywhere he's been. You look at Dana Altman, obviously Nebraska ties, the Oregon extension. Cranack made a good point. Dana's able to get out of contracts. He's shown that before, even though there's an extension. Do you think, and I've thrown out two guys that I like and I think Nebraska fans would like if a move is made, when a move is made, when the season's done, right? Do you feel like Moose has his guy, or do you think Moose has got turned down by his guy and is now on to plan B?
I don't think he has his guy at this point. And I don't know if he's been turned down, because I, you know, it's as strange as it was, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, the kind of no firing end season mandate that he put out there works a little bit in his favor. And at least, you know, kind of cast the doubt there that, oh, even if he were ready to go, he, with Nebraska playing well enough to kind of put itself back into NIT contention, well, then you've got a reason to wait a little bit and be patient with it. So that could happen, but I'm sure Nebraska has kind of been working the back channels here for a while. I mean, the slide has been going on for the back third of this season, let's say. So Miles or Moose has had opportunities to explore what's out there in terms of. I'm sure he has a couple of names. I don't really know necessarily who they are, but well, might find out soon enough.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska and basketball. Do you expect? I mean, does it depend on who is named? By the way, it's happening, right? Like, do you foresee any scenario in which Miles keeps his job?
Only one where Nebraska went out there and somehow got stonewalled with its top three, four, five guys and felt like they weren't guaranteed to make an upgrade. And even then, I don't know if it's possible because you'd have to make a multi-year commitment. You'd basically just have to run up the bill on Miles with what you've already seen. And I don't know, while there's some support for that right now from a fan perspective, I just don't know if you can do that in good conscience if you're trying to run an athletic department.
You got to really ask yourself this, Vogues, and you nailed it. Do you extend Tim to a 7-year deal with his current salary, or do you go new with a little more money? Because it's going to be a 7-year window, or even 8, and I don't know that any AD would do that, but it's going to take 6 years to do your program. I mean, that's the dilemma you're in right now, and clearly I think if new is uncertain, but you already have some facts and results to look at and weigh upon to maybe help make that decision with change. I mean, you just what's been going on has been close, but not enough. That's the fear, man. Do you worry about this decision? Just put your basketball hat on for a minute, your fan hat, your Bulls hat, your Nebraska hat, whatever. Do you worry about this next decision being wrong? Like, okay, the grass wasn't greener if we're talking in 10 years.
No, not really. I mean, Nebraska's kind of been there for a while, and that's how these things go. You make the best hire you think you can make at the time, and then you find out how good it actually was, and you're either set or you do it again, and you just kind of that's the natural life cycle of the thing, both in basketball and football, and you see it happen all the time. Like I don't think there's ever really one of those decisions that can permanently set a program back because you're always just one great hire away from getting back into it. And it's even easier in basketball than it is in football, just based on numbers. You can drastically change a program in the short term with just a couple of guys.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. All right, let's switch over to football. Spring football underway, spring break upcoming. I don't know. It's been a fairly nondescript spring season. I think last year everything's new, everything's crazy. What's happening with this guy and that guy and this position and that position? What is standing out as far as like most intriguing and or surprising so far? It's tough for me to come up with anything.
Yeah, it has been a little bit strange on that front. I think there are two things that immediately come to mind to me, and one of those is the year two familiarity. And we talked about this a little bit last week. What's Nebraska going to do tempo wise? And we're not going to know that based on spring practices. But you know, one of the major takeaways from what people were able to see from that first practice was, yeah, this is even a quicker pace than what we saw last year. And so I've been interested in that and thinking about, you know, what that means and what it looks like. I think on the defensive side, you're starting to see some individual names that have really intrigued me of late. Deontay Williams being one, the discussion around JoJo Doman was what I came into spring pretty intrigued by, and it's only gotten me I would say more intriguing from there. So I think those are a couple of things through 2 weeks and now at halftime of spring practice, so to speak, that have jumped out.
Vogues, you spent a little bit of time touching on Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman and the sleeping giant status discussion and with Nebraska. Does Nebraska's status, the debate, you know, okay, who's more of a sleeping giant, Nebraska or Tennessee? And both programs, man, when they've been good, they found each other in Arizona or in Miami, right? I mean, you think both programs have been kind of eerily adrift until they found the right guy. Nebraska has. We don't know about Tennessee, but I think we feel here in Nebraska that Nebraska is bound for something bigger. Tennessee, we'll see. The East is getting better with Georgia and Florida with their hires recently. Do you look at Nebraska as a soon-to-be giant? Is that within reach within the next 5 years?
I think so. I think results similar to Oregon are certainly realistic, and I would have considered Oregon a giant during that stretch. You know, they were kind of the toast of college football with the uniforms and the fun offense and the points and
the wins.
Yeah, and the wins that too. You know, and the sort of the traditional old boys club, Alabama, Texas, et al. Will say, yeah, but how many trophies? And yeah, I get that, but no, I think Nebraska could be that. You have to fight through probably a thicker thicket at the top of the conference than I think Oregon did in the Pac-12 at that time. We'd have to go through Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, but Nebraska can get there.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, one position and one player that's kind of standing out now that I think about it, already taking it for granted, I guess, Cam Jurgens. Switching to center, and so far, it's early, it could change, but he's getting reps with the top unit, with the top offensive line. He's the center that's going out there, and it just got me to thinking of, you know, you'll have the offensive line to defensive line position switch, you'll have maybe receiver to DB position switches, those are fairly common, but taking a guy that was like a tight end, maybe a defensive end, and turning him into a center. I go back to maybe Cody Glenn going from successful running back to linebacker. That could end up being huge if he maintains that spot.
Baptiste also too, going from wide out to corner.
There you go. Right, but that's a little more common, right? Because it's receiver.
Sure,
to DB.
No, but I hear you jumping from one to the other. I mean, it's. Not always seen. I think Kaczynski did it at Notre Dame. He went from tight end to center.
Put it this way. There was absolutely zero people when Jurgens was being recruited saying, oh, he'll
be a good
center.
We want you to be a center, son.
That could end up being one of the more shrewd moves. I mean, from what you're hearing, do you expect him to be the front runner for that position?
Yeah, I think that's who they I think that's who they want to win the position. And, you know, he's been a little bit limited this spring, but still at times he gets out there with that first group, which I think is an indication of where they want him to be. You know, they moved him there for a reason and you don't have really any experience there anyway. So athletically, if he kind of offers the highest upside. And that's really why you make the move. You know, when Frost announced it, was like, yeah, I look at this guy. I'm like, here, this guy could be an NFL offensive lineman. Instead of fighting, keep weight off him. Let's just let him put it on and go there. Tells you, I think, a lot about the uniqueness of that move, yes, but also the uniqueness of his ability. So they're going to have to take some lumps, I think, just in terms of the learning curve, no matter what happens at center. Might as well do that with perhaps one of the best athletes on the team.
You know, and real quick, Brandon, you study the game closely. What does having a center that runs a 4.7 or 4.8, what does that afford you to do as an offense?
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska, well, these coaches, they did it at UCF too, has already, you know, they're one of those teams that likes to play around and get somewhat exotic with what they're going to do on the on the offensive line. Having a guy who's as quick twitch as Juergens is only kind of opens that up. So, you know, we saw Nebraska pull players a bunch from different spots. It allows you to get, I think, a little bit more sophisticated in terms of your blocking schemes and how you want to run the football.
Mm-hmm. Vogues, awesome stuff. Great chat this morning. Quickly, what's coming up on HailVarsity.com, bud?
Yeah, so we're hard at work putting the March issue together, which will ship next week. So we'll have a little bit of spring football in there. Pretty good feature story coming from Aaron Sorensen on Nebraska and its history of quarterbacks. So busy with that. Looks like we'll have plenty of basketball news here in the near future. Greg Smith's been doing a good job catching up with some of the recruits who've been to Lincoln. So back towards almost full-on football mode for a couple of weeks, and maybe we'll play baseball someday in Nebraska.
That would be awesome. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com, author of Dream Like a Champion with John Cook. Vogues, thanks for the time, bud.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Brandon thanks, Vogel. Man. Reminder about Sauter Heyman. Sauter Heyman's restocked both their stores in Lincoln. Don't want to miss out on their new inventory. Of course, great selections, pure-grown diamonds, hearts-on-fire diamonds, and, of course, the watches you want for men and women. And with a qualifying purchase, you can qualify for that 36 months interest-free financing with Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. Go see him this weekend. Going to be gorgeous. Maybe it's time to go find that engagement ring or just say I love you with something to put around her neck or an anklet or a bracelet. Can find Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, and is always out west, Grand Island, a location for you. Can log on. SauterHeyman.com. The Iron Horse coming up. Gary Sharp on the way with Hail Varsity.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back in weekend edition, it's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Colton Stone, we welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, it's March, man. There's lots of madness out there. And we'll start with Nebraska basketball. Get your take on the Moose statement. Thanks for joining us this morning, bud.
That's you could go all the way back to when Danny Nee was fired, about this time in 2000. First of all, I have been pretty steadfast that regardless of how Nebraska finished this year, where the scoreboard matters, that Tim Miles wouldn't be back. I think it was an opportunity for Tim to coach his team, his best roster, put together a good record, a good resume, and then get out. I've always had the sense that, you know, Bill Moose, Tim Miles was not his guy, especially after just the one-year extension last year. And then as this season has unfolded, you know, it hasn't been a season that any of us wanted. And I think yesterday, putting out a statement, that was unnecessary. You didn't need to put that out. And, you know, I mean, I think even guys on that staff, even the head coach knows, that kind of their fate is sealed. I mean, don't do that to them where after a run that we all had fun watching Nebraska basketball for 3 days, and we haven't had that 3-day stretch of enjoyment of Nebraska basketball for a while. Why have something like that where the head coach sits in a media press conference trying to hold back tears and has to say, well, I think there's something coming out in 45 minutes. And but I'm reminded that Nebraska does things like that. Can't get out of our own way. I think there's such a better way to handle what's going to happen moving forward with Nebraska basketball. And yesterday, putting out a statement like that was not the way to go.
It's been pretty weird, though, hasn't it, Gary? I mean, Mark Boehm has been behind Tim Miles quite a bit, executive associate AD, who's kind of been in charge of basketball for a number of years. Not so much directly now, but he's still a figure there. But, I mean, what's behind the you know, the Chris Heady article that comes out with the complaints about consultants and all that, like, what do you think that Where do you think that beef between Miles and Moose comes from? It's been pretty odd.
Well, I think it's just Bill Moose and Tim Miles, that's not his guy. And they're doing things differently. And I think Tim Miles relies on some heavy support from the people above him. And if you look at outside of the X's and O's on the floor, because the record is what it is, Tim's had kind of a wild 3 or 4 years with who his boss is. You know, Sean Eichhorst was kicking the tires on some coaches, and all of a sudden after a loss to Penn State a few years ago, he tweets out that Tim is going to be back. Well, if you're going to do that to a basketball coach and you're going to support him, then support him with a contract extension. And in this business, we know contract extensions, they don't mean a lot. What they mean is for a coach to say that. But guys sign contract extensions. Heck, they don't want to just sign a contract extension. And he, you know, he still could go somewhere. Steve Alford signed a contract extension in New Mexico. 10 days later, he was at UCLA.
Right.
I think the support from above and for the program, it's just, it's been all over the map. And at a place where now, 7 years ago when Tim Miles was hired, I don't think the scoreboard mattered for Nebraska basketball. I think what mattered was selling the program, selling yourself, getting people into a brand new building as you transition into a new conference. Now, 7 years later, the scoreboard matters. And if that's the case, and I truly believe it is, then you've got to set this program up where the scoreboard matters, and the people that are in charge of it, they have the support of you, and they are a good enough hire that they can do this on a consistent basis. And I think one of Tim's downfalls is he listens to all the outside noise. Well, for this to work, as difficult as it is, you got to eliminate that outside noise. And there's a lot of things that have to happen here for Nebraska basketball to move forward. We all believe that there is everything in place for it to move forward. It now takes the right person. Tim's a great guy. I don't think Tim is the right person to grow the program from 7 years into 8 years, 9 years, 10 years.
Sharpie, you mentioned that what you needed coming in, kind of a salesman, a spark. You had new and exciting, and you needed the change from Doc to somebody else, and you did that with Tim. And Tim, for his record and what he did on the scoreboard, as you touched on, 5 out of his 7 years, it was frustrating and disappointing, but there's some magical memories you're going to have that were great moments, but just that singular moments, right, where you've got a no-sit Sunday, you got the Iowa comeback, you had this Big Ten tournament run, but overall you have underachieving or teams that just faltered down the stretch. When you look to the future and you do make a move, Can we as a Nebraska basketball fan base, can we rest easy that this next decision will be the right decision and the grass is okay? It's going to be greener. I mean, I'm saying you're at the doorstep now. Excuse me. You're close to postseason. It's still the NIT, which you don't want, but you'll take. You were close to the tournament last year. You got to the tournament back in 14. I mean, you're right there. Is this next guy a guarantee to get you over the goal line?
That's what we don't know. That's the wild card, guys, because we don't know who Moose has approached. You know, Thad Mata's name has come up. Thad Mata looks like now he'll be in line for the UNLV job that opened up last night. Did they go the mid-major route, which is, you know, probably most attractive to people that are looking at Nebraska? You know, does that mean you go to UNC Greensboro? You kick the tires on Andy Kennedy, who is the old men's coach who's out of a job, some guys that are on the sidelines. It's, you don't know, but in this case, the one word that'll come up immediately was, well, or will, can you make a home run hire? I don't know that we can. I mean, we all kind of have our wish list of a home run hire, but what for Nebraska basketball needs, who is that guy? But most importantly, what is the person that's going to make the decision? What are they thinking? Because we can only go off of what they've done when they've approached basketball in the past, and that guy at Washington State was just relieved of his duties midweek.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, let's take tradition off the table for a second here, okay? That has nothing to do with this discussion. Take facilities, take fan support, take conference affiliation. How good is the Nebraska job?
It is a job that is not in the top eight of the league, but it's not a job that gets knocked by all of these national media. Your facilities are better. Your practice facilities are better. You're in the Big Ten Conference. You have money at your disposal. You have private planes on how you travel. You don't have to fly commercial to go play road games. You've got a fan base that is so thirsty for a consistent winner. I mean, it's one of the best fan bases in the entire Big Ten, and we're talking about some blue bloods of college basketball. History is one thing you can't overcome, but you know what? There are places like Wisconsin, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Iowa that didn't have history until they made the right coaching hire.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they started to have history. People will talk about recruiting. In-state basketball has gotten better, and it's going to continue to get better.
Yep.
People that are national talking heads that know nothing about this state, shut up, because you don't know the talent that is here.
Right.
Is it five-star talent? No. There's a couple of four-star guys that we've seen over the last couple of weeks play basketball in Lincoln or in gyms around the state. Are they guys that come in and impact the Big Ten right away? No. But the talent is better, and Nebraska's done a better job of identifying and going after in-state talent. It can be done, but it all starts with the right hire. That person has to be willing to overlook any of the past and create their own and say, you know what, just like Iowa State, where Johnny Orr showed up, they had no history. But you got to start somewhere. And that's why the hire is the most crucial thing. Because, again, if you fan on this one and you go 5-6 years and you're in the same boat, what are we looking at here? So, you know, it's a weird path to walk down, but I think it's an exciting one because unlike, like, the Andy Katz was yesterday,
yeah.
Nebraska basketball can win on a consistent basis. Can they be in the top four every year? Maybe not. But can they be in the discussion this time of the year every year? Certainly, with the right person, the right makeup, and all the support that is around them from where they play and who roots for them.
You know, man, I'm so glad you brought up the national pundits, Gary, because I think there's this misconception about Nebraska because fans have the reputation of being nice or polite that they don't want to win, right? It's just, you know what I mean? Like, people are just okay with it. Kind of like when Riley got hired. You know, oh, he's nice. The fans are nice. It's just going to be, they're going to hold hands and it's going to be, no. Nebraska fans want to win.
The hand-holding stops when you lose and you get embarrassed.
Come on. Right? Isn't that part of this, too? Just there's like this perception of Nebraska that's just off.
Well, and I think it starts a little bit with, and I absolutely agree with you, Mark and Chris, that Tim is very well-liked. And we all want Tim to win because he's charismatic. He's good for the program. And national guys really like Tim. He's got a great relationship. He's actually got a great relationship with all the media. And people like talking to him, and they have a good time with him. He's the guy that, man, I'd go drink a beer with Tim Miles if you're a national guy. But those guys need to step back in this current climate and realize what Nebraska wants. Nebraska doesn't want to be stuck where Penn State is. They want to move forward, and they know they can move forward. And so Andy Katz's thing yesterday was just, I mean, he's gone to bat for Tim for a long time, but he's also the guy that said, this is a Nebraska team that should be playing on the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Come on. People here know what they want, and hopefully they'll get it, because that the fan base for Nebraska basketball, guys, it's so thirsty and wants to support a consistent winner and will. I mean, look at the reaction of the last 3 days in Chicago. I mean, you felt it again. You felt Nebraska basketball. That can't happen with the right hire, somebody who is really, really good, X's and O's, knows how to manage personalities at the Power 6 level, can put together a staff that can recruit their tail off, and they don't care about what anybody else says about them. They block out all the other distractions, and their sole focus is to win basketball games and get better as the season goes along so that when they go to the Big Ten tournament, they're playing either as a team that's already in the dance or trying to get there.
Sharpie, last thought here with hoops. Is that going to be what Tim's downfall is the inability to manage Power 6 personalities?
Well, I think a little bit of that in roster management.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you're going to look back at Tim's career and go, man, his timing was off. He won too early, got to the NCAA tournament, and then the next year, it didn't work out. He had last year where he had one of his best years ever. One of the best years ever. Nebraska basketball, but because of the Big Ten and because of his strength of schedule, didn't make the NCAA tournament, and then sleepwalked through an NIT game, and they got beat by Mississippi State. And then this year, the timing is off with the Copeland injury and the downfall at the beginning of January, where you had your best roster, and there was so much momentum. And, you know, guys, on January 15th, Nebraska was 11-3. February 15th, you thought the world was caving in. March 15th, yesterday, you thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to happen. The rest of it went 5 games in 5 days. The timing in his whole career seems like it's been one step short, one step late, one step too soon. But it's, you know, it was 500 basketball for 7 years, and this is the year to break through and get there and have some fun. And things just went against them. And now you got to move on. And I think Tim will move on. I think Tim will either have a microphone in his hand next college basketball season, or he'll have a whistle around his neck. And it might be back at a mid-major school where he can be more comfortable and he has a stronger relationship with the person that signs his paycheck.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Let's switch over to Nebraska football. And we were just talking with Brandon about Cam Jurgens at center, where so far, anyways, he's getting reps with the top unit. He's presumably, if they were to play tomorrow, maybe he's the guy. Like, seems like he's gonna be a real kind of force to deal with at the center position. He reminds me, Gary, and I don't want to put you on the spot about remembering him because it was a while ago. I think at the time you were in Florida, so you probably weren't paying as close attention, but Greg Esslinger at Minnesota that won the Outland Trophy in 2000, I guess it was six is when the award was, pretty similar to kind of how Cam is built. And that was when Minnesota, by the way, I mean, they were the number one rushing
Marion
team.
Marion the Barbarian. Mm-hmm.
Marion Barber. Esslinger was a four-year starter. He's about 6'3", 285, and he ran about a 4.8. And
kind of like Kranach.
And I'm just reading. I'm just reading some right.
The 4.8 part.
You're talking about height. but you go back and you read some of that, and what they said about him so much, opponents said, they're like, we can't prepare for this rushing attack. There is nobody on scout team at all that week that can mimic what this guy does at center. How much could Nebraska's offense change if Jurgens stays healthy and is able to secure that spot? I mean, what does having such a mobile center do for you?
Well, I think he can do a lot, and that's kind of what Nebraska would love to have, because they're asking their center to pull, to do things that the center position in the previous offenses haven't done. You hit the magic word with Cam is staying healthy. Whenever you're a big man like that, you've had some foot injuries, that's always something to watch. Don't overlook Will Farniok. That center position battle is pretty intense. It looks like Trent Hixon will not be in the mix at center because he's going to lock down one of the guard spots. Hunter Miller probably needs to get a little bit bigger. And then A.J. Forbes has come a long way. He's completely transformed his body from when he was a senior at Bellevue West on a fantastic offensive line. They have some competition at center, and you know their affinity for Cam Jurgens. But the ability, you're absolutely right, Mark, the ability to be able to be an athletic guy, you don't need to be a 330-pound center. You'd almost want to be 280, 290, where you could get out and pull, and you could get out on the edge as a center. And Cam Jurgens certainly does that. You just keep your fingers crossed that he can go long stretches of time where he's not injured, and then go more stretches of time where he's not injured, because there is a ton of upside for him. And you especially look at his body, and he has completely changed in a short amount of time where he doesn't take a backseat to anybody on that offensive line in terms of what you look like.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharp, you have an amazing weekend, man. Thanks for the insight today. Great to get caught up with you, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys, as always.
Take care. Quick timeout, and we'll be back to wind down a Saturday.
But I was...
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
One final time on your Saturday, it's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. The podcast will be up. Colton will have some thoughts from Sharpie and from Andy Markowski and Vogues out on SoundCloud for you with Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln, the Twitter handle. And, of course, those interviews are going to be posted as well on Futuri. So if you want to do the drive-through edition versus the full podcast. You're welcome to do that, but the podcast, all of it, if you're going to go walk the dog because it is sunny out, great. Can take it down at HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Kranak, just a quick thought here, and Colton, you give me the signal when to shut up. I know we've been pretty long today, but you're not far from some of the flooding damage in areas.
Yeah, no.
From where you live.
It's pretty close. Elkhorn River is, I don't know, maybe
T-shot away from
a couple miles away.
Or less, yeah.
Yeah, maybe even less. It starts at about 240th Street or so, and I'm around 204th. Yeah, it's nuts, man. There's parts of Center Street that have just like the deepness of the concrete is just completely crumbled and washed away. Like, there's going to be some serious damage to repair.
Well, thoughts and prayers to those affected, obviously, and outreach is happening with the great state of Nebraska to folks affected. So thinking about you. For certain. Kranak, thanks, brother.
God's
Colton, God love you. Enjoy spring break. Suntan lotion. And a 14-drink minimum.
Girls gone wild.